You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
We made a plan to keep our love. Had a book, wrote it down. Places that you can only find when we touch you light my heavy heart.
Suzuki with Keep Love. This is from Stone Fruit, the new album. Kia ora, Suzuki. How are you this morning?
Morena, how are you? I'm very good.
Good. It's lovely to have you up in the studio talking about this beautiful record. We were just chatting off air. It's been a pretty special one for you making this, and also kind of a long time coming as well. When did you first start writing songs for this album?
So I started writing in 2019.
Whole other world now?
Yeah. Yeah, it is kind of weird. I do feel like a completely different person than when I first started writing it. But yeah, it's been 5 years almost. And I wrote the bulk of it between 2019 and 2020, and then have been recording it kind of on and off, and then off for a very long time, and then on for a very short time.
Yes.
Since about 2020.
That's quite an interesting shape to the way that that's come about, especially because the world was totally different back in 2019. And obviously, much changes in 5 years, regardless of global pandemics. But when you go back and listen to those songs that you were writing then, do they feel very different to you now, or have they kind of morphed with how you've sort of changed over that time?
It's interesting. I feel like they were written in a very specific point in my life, and they're very, very honest, and they really kind of put the pen to paper of how exactly I was feeling at that time. and just the general atmosphere of the songs themselves. So every time I listen to them or play them or practice them with the band, yeah, it's like kind of reliving that a little bit.
Yeah.
Which might sound bad, like, because they're quite like deep, sad songs. But it's not. It's really nice to experience it again.
Yeah, totally. And to also bring people that you trust and care about in that creative process into that storytelling as well must be quite a lovely experience in some ways, because you're bringing it outside of your head, you know, you're taking it to other people. Did you have a very clear idea of who you wanted involved on this when you were writing, or did you just find people at the right time?
Luckily, I think people... My friends in music, they've all kind of just wanted to help.
Nice.
Without really being prompted. So it was produced by Mark Perkins of Merck.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so helpful. He just wanted to get coffee one day and was like, "Do you want to make some music?" And I was like, "Yes, I've written a bunch of songs. I can't record anything myself.
Yeah.
I don't know how to use any of those computer stuff. I can't do it. But he can really, really well. And so luckily he asked me, you know, to do some recordings, and that was the kind of got the ball rolling. And then after that, just the people in my band have been friends for, you know, 20 years. And you know, I didn't really have to kind of beg them to be in it. They were just like, "Yeah, let's do this."
Yeah, totally. Mm. That's such a nice thing as well, to have those friends who can kind of instigate stuff for you and give you that little push that sometimes you didn't know you needed, or that you did know because you didn't have the gear or the technical know-how.
Yeah.
And you recorded some of this at Mark's house and some of it up here at the lab.
Mm-hmm.
And what was it like? Because when you've had a long time to sit with songs, but then a short time to kind of get it ready and out in the world, how did you find that kind of the pressure cooker part of the process? Was it fun? Was it stressful? What was that bit like?
It was very cozy and comfortable.
Oh, lovely. That's the ideal yeah. situation.
Yeah, absolutely. So I had just a bunch of voice memos, because that's how I record. And so when we sat down with Merck, getting all of those ideas fully fleshed out in ways that I could never do, with synths and drums and, you know, keyboards and horns and kind of everything, they ended up taking this new form, which I ended up just really, really loving. And one of the songs in particular, Holy Water, it was originally just like this acoustic ballad, kind of soft, sad song. And we tried it that way in the studio and it didn't really work. And so I was like, well, why don't we just do something like totally different?
Yeah.
Make it like some sort of like psychedelic, you know, kind of soft rock anthem.
Awesome.
And we did. And it's now like my favorite song on the album.
That's so nice. It's lovely when those things fall into place in the right way and you just need the right people in the right headspace to kind of make it happen. And yeah. get that sound that you actually didn't know you needed, you know?
Yeah, and the right gear as well.
Totally.
So we use a stylophone, I think it's called.
Oh, cool.
It's kind of like 70s. Yeah, and so like that totally just made the whole song.
That's so exciting. So if you had to kind of categorize Stone Fruit as an album, if you sort of were thinking about the world of what it means to you, how would you describe that? Because there is a lot of quite interior terrain that you kind of cover in this record.
Yeah. I try to keep it as light as possible, given the, you know, kind of deep, sad, dark subject matter. And so for me, it is just kind of like a journey of experiencing grief and the grief process and all of the different stages of it. So there are some lighter moments and there are some quite dark moments, but in the end it's all rounded off, and it feels like once you listen to all of it and that last song, it feels like you're in a nice place of acceptance.
Yeah, mm. Totally. Well, we're going to listen to Holy Water, which
oh, nice.
I'm excited to hear the stylophone sound, you know, now that we've talked about it. But mm-hmm. it is a beautiful record. Where can people get stone fruit. It's spelled with two U's.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
If people are looking it up as well.
Sorry, yeah, sorry to throw that curveball. I don't know why I did that.
Well, it actually makes it more Googleable, so that's kind of handy.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
it's
that's
probably
right.
A really good idea. Seizuki, where is the best place for people to get your music?
So if you look up Seizuki, that's C.Z.U.K.E.Y., on Bandcamp, SoundCloud, all of the major streaming services, YouTube probably. I think it's everywhere. Like, they just kind of put it everywhere. Things that I've never heard of. It's on TikTok. You can.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, go ahead.
You can do a dance.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you going to be playing any of these live anytime soon?
Yes. So I'm playing at the Wine Cellar on June 22nd. It'll be the album release with Leonard Powell.
Oh, lovely. What a nice combo. That's going to be a really special night. Thank you so much, Seizuki, for coming in and speaking with us about Stone Fruit. This is Holy Water from the record. You're on BFM.
Up on the edge.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.